Okay, this week is Parshas Toldos. Parshas Toldos is the Parsha of Yitzchak Avinu. We have a lot of Parshios of Avraham, Parshas, and the Parshas Noach. We already learned about the birth of Avraham, Parshas Lech Lecha is all about Avraham, Parshas Vayera is all about Avraham, Parshas Chayisar is also about Avraham Avinu. So we have plenty of Parshios, three major Parshios about Avraham Avinu. And then when we begin, what? Yitzchak was born already in Parshas Vayera. But the bulk of Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayera, and even Chayisar, the beginning of Chayisar, is all about Avraham Avinu. Starting with next week, Parshas Vayetze, heading all the way down to Vayechi, is all about Yaakov. So this week really is the week, is the only parasha that we devote to Yitzchak Avinu. It's the parasha Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And from the three of us, the one that we know the least about, is Yitzchak Avinu. There's one interesting chart that I came across. I think I saw this in Rabbi Wolfson Sefer Emunah Sitecha, and it says a very interesting idea, is that we never find in the Torah Yitzchak alone. Avraham is all alone in Parshas Noach and Parshas Lech Lecha. He's alone. And in starting with Parshas Vayeshev, next week Avraham is still alone. Well, he's still mentioned. Well, is he mentioned next Vayetze? No, he's not mentioned. Parshas Vayetze, Yitzchak is still mentioned in Parshas Vayetze, but Yitzchak dies, if I'm not mistaken, in Parshas Vayetze. And, is it Vayishlach? Okay, I'm not sure. Starting with Vayeshev, we only have Yaakov Avinu. So in other words, we have parashios that only have within them Avraham, and we have parashios that only contain within them Yaakov. But every parasha that has Yitzchak will always have either Avraham or Yaakov. We do not allow Yitzchak to be alone in a parasha. Yitzchak always has to have company. Why is that so? And the answer he gives is very simple. It's because Chesed can stand alone. To be a Baal Chesed. Avram is Chesed. MS can stand alone. But Yitzchak is dangerous. Ooh. Yitzchak is Gvur, is Midas Hadin. The Torah does not allow us to have Midas Hadin alone. Midas Hadin always needs to be tempered with Chesed or with MS. These is critical, otherwise the sakon of having that alone can be overwhelming. Okay, let's go a little bit further. We have in the sixth parasha, the birth of Yaakov and Esav. And the pasuk tells us that Esav was Tzayid Befiv. Yitzchak loved Esav, ki Tzayid Befiv. Rashi explains to us, what does it mean Tzayid Befiv? He would ask his father lumdisha questions. Let me just find the pasuk. Brashi Pasuk of Zion says, what was the midah of Esav? Yodeya Tzayid, Lotzud Ulramos is of Befiv Vishreloi Abba, Heach Na Asrin Es HaNelach. How does one separate Meiser from Nelach? These are things which are exempt. These are not foods. You don't separate Meiser, Truman Meiser, from these things. But he asks, how do you separate Meiser from Melech and Tevin? Kisavar Aviv Shuhu Midakdek B'mitzvahs. Okay, now I think from this Rashi we can learn a very interesting concept. What does it mean to be Midakdek in mitzvahs? Every single member of Klal Yisrael is a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. Okay, to be a Shomer Torah mitzvahs, you just need to do the mitzvahs. But then there is a higher madrega, a shevach, of calling a person not just an observant, but a person who's midaktik in mitzvahs. Yeah. What is the meaning? How do we separate the men from the boys and call a person a medakdek b'mitzvah? Seemingly, this Rashi is revealing to us a secret in where we separate, how to separate the men from the boys. Why do we give tzedakah? One of the benefits of giving tzedakah is aser b'shvil shetis asher. Give maaser so that you should be rich. Aser b'shvil shetis asher. Asher, loshon of a oshir, to be wealthy. Giving maaser is really is a way to preserve your wealth. A person is blessed with wealth, and you want to guarantee that your wealth will endure, you have to give tzedakah. There are two very interesting things about salt and tevin. What is salt? What is the nature of salt? Salt is a preservative. So salt, in ancient times, there was no refrigeration. How would one preserve meat? Meat was preserved in salt. Tevin, what is straw? Tevin is really a building material. Balderech Drush, the only place we find the Torah Tevin, we find it only in one place, by the Ore Miskinos Lefaro, that they were first given the Tevin, and then they were denied Tevin. And we find the Tevin were used to build bricks, the Miskinos Halavanim, and then the bricks were used to build Ore Miskinos Lefaro as peace in the Esram. So what is Miskinos? Storage cities. Bricks to build storage cities. So even though it's not direct, but the way we find Tevin in the Torah is in reference to building materials, specifically to build storage facilities. I'm sure they used Tevin to build other things as well. I'm sure they used Tevin they primarily used stone to build dwellings. And we find in the beginning of Bereish they used Tevin, it says when they built the Migdal Bavel they used Chemar,
right.
What is Chemar? Mud, clay. It does not say that in the mud was Tevin. The only place we find Tevin is in a certain type of construction. I don't know if this is true. You have to analyze this. This is a very interesting idea of the different types of building materials in ancient times. The best building material is stone. That's clear. The second best building material, Migdal Bavel, was Chemar. The third type of building material we find in the Torah is Levena, which was made from Tevin, the collection of Tevin, and this construction was done to build the Ore Miskinos B'Mitzrayim storage facilities. So let's just assume with a drush. What was his question? His question was, how do you preserve the preservative? You ever eat a baked good that you buy in the supermarket? You never eat Entenmann's? You can actually slice the preservatives. You can sense that you buy a Danish and a candy machine, and it's full with preservatives. The preservatives are there to make sure that the Danish has a shelf life of a month. A month, 2 months, 3 months. Right, if you go into a bakery and you buy a piece of cake, the cake's not going to last more than a day or two. After even one day, you buy a Danish that's 2 days old, it just doesn't take. It's just something warm. Either you cover very well, doesn't last. But if you add preservatives, you add preservatives, so then it can taste good for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. Who knows how long? The more preservatives you add, the more healthy it is, and the more who knows what you're putting in there, preservatives. But the question is, the big mystery is, how do you preserve the preservatives if you have in stock a warehouse of chemicals that are going to be used to preserve other baked goods? What chemical do you add into the preservative to preserve the preservative? This is the kunz of Esav. Esav said to his father, this Rashi is teaching us a message that's very, that applies to us. Rashi is telling us, Esav wasn't just, he said to his father, not only am I a big bald stalker, I'm a multimillionaire, I go out into the field and I go and I hunt and I give a lot of tzedakah. I want to make sure, and what do I give tzedakah? Aser, b'shvil, giving tzedakah is a preservative. When you give tzedakah, you are preserving your wealth. Aser, b'shvil, shetis asher. The first soft, and then there's a shin, I'm sorry. Aser, b'shvil, shetis asher. Give tzedakah so that you shall preserve your wealth, that you shall be wealthy, and your wealth, Chazal also, that your wealth should be preserved. It's a preservative. I do that, my father. I'm preserving my wealth, but I want to make sure that I continue to preserve my wealth. I want you to teach me a mahalech to find a preservative for the preservative. That's why he asked specifically in regard to melach, salt, because salt is a preservative, and teven, because in the Torah, the way we find, this is a bit of a drush, in the Torah, the way we find teven, teven is being used as the building instrument to build orei miskinos, cities that are meant to preserve the wealth of the country. How do I preserve the preservatives? And what is that called? That is called a medakdek b'mitzvos. He fooled his father into his father believing that not only am I observant, am I a shomer Torah mitzvos, I'm also a medakdek b'mitzvos. So this we can learn in Musar Haskel, that we're not talking about Esav, we're talking about among us. In Klal Yisrael, there are men and there are boys. There are people that are shomrei Torah mitzvos. But then there are people, they'll say about them, he's not just a shomer Torah mitzvos, he's medaktik in mitzvos. Right? He asks about a shidduch, about a boy. He's medaktik. What do you mean, you're medaktik? Define that expression. You're medaktik. It means you don't just do the mitzvah. You put yourself, you create for yourself an environment where you guarantee that you'll always do the mitzvah. It's not just stam. You go to the daven, every day you daven with a minyan. One day I daven here, one day I daven here, one day I daven there. I have a makom kavua. And it's not just a makom kavua. I have a seder before davening. I create for myself safeguards that I should always do the mitzvah. That's the taich. That's what Rashi is telling us. The very big limud mud, the limud musar. Esav asked, how do you give miser on salt and tevin? What do you mean? Salt and tevin are things which are preservatives. And giving tzedakah, giving miser, the whole essence of giving miser is to preserve what you have. So you want a preservative for the preservative. And he fooled, he succeeded in telling his father, he's a medakhtek b'mitzvos. So from this we learn that if we want to be medakhtek b'mitzvos, it doesn't just mean that we do the mitzvos. It means that we do things to guarantee that we should always do. We create for ourselves an environment, safeguards that will always do the mitzvahs. If you go to a shir, you learn daf yomi on your own. So one day you learn, one day you don't learn. When you go to a shir, it's already a different league. You're already part of a group. There's a certain pressure, social pressure you've created for yourself, where you basically guarantee just to keep up with the flow. When you do, this is the essence of medakdek b'mitzvahs, to put yourself in a situation where you protect yourself, that you will always continue to observe the mitzvahs.
Discipline yourself.
But more than that, you erect safeguards. Safeguards to guarantee you'll always be doing these mitzvahs at all the time. That's the essence, the malchus of medakdek b'mitzvahs. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea I came across in the Shemin HaTayif, Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, the rabbi of the young Israel of Williamsburg.
Brooklyn.
Which is in Williamsburg. Williamsburg is the essence of Brooklyn. Okay, but let's Bernard. Now it's a firm will, so now you don't call Shemna Toy. Five volumes. Now what I'm saying is not what it says there, but it's based upon what he says there. He says over here very interesting about it. I want to elaborate upon this idea. We learn over here about Esav. Yigdalu, Esav is born. V'yachrichin yotz achiv yodeches v'kev Esav v'yikos shmo Yaakov Yitzhak yoyish ben shich shon lus. Okay. V'yigdalu hanarim v'yihi Esav. We have two children. We have Esav. Each yedet tzayid, each sadeh. V'yakov each tom yoyishev oyholim. The Torah here describes in one pasuk the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov was an individual that was yoyishev oyholim. Rashi tells us, what does it mean yoyishev oyholim? Why doesn't it say yoyishev oyhal? He started the tent. What do you mean he sat in the tent? The oil means the tent of Torah. He went and studied in the Beis Medrash. It wasn't enough just to go to one Beis Medrash. He had to go to two Batei Midrashim. And Rashi tells us who are the two Batei Midrashim? The Beis Medrash of Shem the Aver, Rashi. Rashi says, Yoyeshevam Oholoi shel shame, the Oholoi shel Eder. Now before we go further, what's the significance of going to two Batei Midrashim? Who was younger, who's current? Who was the current Rashiva was Eder. Eder was the grandson of Shame. Shame, I think the Sifas Sacham actually says that. Shame was the grandfather. Now today, you always like to be current.
Today, you have to dress in the latest styles. You have to have the latest cell phone. No one's walking around today with Palm Pilots. Okay, the first smartphone was a Palm Pilot, first smart device. No one has a Palm Pilot with a stylus. This is ancient history. Today, you got to be with it. Today, if you go and you have an iPhone 4, it's already a mum for shidduchim. You have to have a 6. If you want a really good shidduch, you have to have the 6S. Right? You have to be with it. You have to be current. This is the derech olam. In learning, it's the same thing. What are they doing in the yeshivas? What's the popular? Today you go to Lakewood. You're not going to go to the local yeshivas. You got to be with it. What was the current? What was in style? Aver. It wasn't popular to go to Shem. Yaakov had a milah. This is the drush. Yaakov had a milah. I don't just go to Shem. I don't just go to Aver. Aver's base medrash is built upon the mesora of Shem. Already in the youth, when he was 13 years old, already Yaakov Avinu already had within him the koyach, the recognition that in Klal Yisrael there's something called the mesora. You just don't start fresh. Open up a new book. You recognize, I go to the base medrash of Aver, because that's what's popular today. But the Torah of Aver all comes from Shem. So it's kedai to go to the base medrash of Shem also. He already showed in his youth that he wanted to connect today with what existed in the past. The base medrash shel Aver and the base medrash shel Shem. This is one in the separate one drush. That's one mahalach. Another mahalach, and this is a very popular idea that a lot of the commentators discussed this at length, is that the mahalach of Shem and Aver were very different. Aver, we know that when Yaakov Avinu, he went to Lavan, before he went to spend 14 years, 20 years with Lavan, he first went to prepare by going to the base medrash of Aver. Rashi says he spent 14 years, he was not punished for those 14 years that he studied in the base medrash of Aver, because that was for... So the question, was he still alive at this point in time? Was Shem still alive at this point in time? I know, but what, the Farshim asked this question, why did he go to Aver and not to Shem? So they make the following suggestion, is that Shem's mahalich was a mahalich of Torah Lashma. Everything is Torah Lashma, but there was no outside, there was no secular studies, no Lamudei Chol. I heard recently from Rabbi Aaron Rakefet. So he's discussing this very thing that we know that Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch, he was a big advocate of Torah im Derech Eretz. And the question is, Torah im Derech Eretz is definitely true and was necessary in Germany in the time and place where Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch lived. Question is, what would Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch believe in an ideal world? Let's say there would be an ideal world where there would be no Ikvas of the Mashiacha. Would Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch believe that a person should spend time studying the sciences, to be integrated with society, to be cultured with Western civilization? What would he believe? So seemingly from his writings, it's the Mashma, yes. Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch was an advocate, this is what he says. If we're saying exactly, I do not know, but I'm just telling you what he says to bring out the point I want to make in that now. He says that from, he really questions if it's really true, but it would seem that Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch held that the ideal is for a Talmud Chacham to be integrated with society, not to live in a ghetto. Lubavitcher Rebbe, there's no question about it, felt that that's not the ideal. The ideal is if you don't need to come on to the secular world, don't spend your time. That's not the ideal. Leave that for the Umos Olam. Leave the sciences. What?
He encouraged people.
I'm telling what he says. He himself went to Berlin, has a degree. He himself went. And when Talmidim came and asked him, should I go to university? He would tell them if they didn't already start. He told them, no, do not go.
People who are...
What? People who are already in, yes, or in college, he told them to finish and to go on. There are many. You have to listen to. Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but people would come and approach him. They would ask him, "What should I do?" And they said, "But Rebbe, you went to college." So he said, "It's the classic that says, just because I went up on the roof
and I got lucky and I didn't fall off the roof, doesn't mean you should go on the roof and go up on the roof and put yourself in danger. Obviously, everyone is different. You cannot generalize. I'm just throwing out something theoretical. Remember, Rakefet, he poses this dilemma and he doesn't answer it clearly. He says, what would Rav Soloveitchik have said? Rav Soloveitchik was clearly an advocate of integrating yourself with Western civilization. But it's also clear that 90% of that approach was because of the world that we live in. We live in not in an ideal world. What would Rav Soloveitchik say if we lived in an ideal world? Would it be kedai to spend time integrating into Western civilization? Okay, whatever this is, it's totally not important. There's no question that the Hasidim and the Litvisha world, the Lakewood world, they thoroughly disagree with any of this approach. They hold that Torah, there's nothing but Torah in the ideal world. No? Yeah. They work out of necessity. Out of necessity. You can't generalize. Every person is different. It's not the point I want to make. Every person is different. You cannot generalize. Okay. Now, the question, many want to suggest, this idea has been brought out by many people. There was a fundamental difference of approach to the study of Torah in the Beis Medrash of Shem and the Beis Medrash of Eder. The Beis Medrash of Shem was focused 100% on Avodas Hashem, to serve Hashem in an isolated, secluded, a ghetto life approach. Torah and nothing but Torah. This was the Beis Medrash of Shem. The Beis Medrash of Eder, the approach was to serve Hashem through Haneg Bohem Minag Derech Eretz. To see, they train people to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sanhaga in everyday life. A person should have a parnasa, and a person should be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his parnasa. Chanoich. It says that he was a shoemaker, and every time he stitched a pair of shoes, he was boirei olamos. Different approaches. Shem and Eder. Yaakov Avinu, when he prepared to go spend 20 years in the workforce by going to Lavan, so in preparation to learning Haneg Bohem Minig Derech Eretz, it says in Chazal he went to study specifically in the Beis Medrash of Eder. Eder.
I'd like to say something.
They taught this. There were courses. There were courses of negotiation. Okay, I'm going to talk about it, but we'll come back. Let me finish the idea. So here now, Rivka. When Rivka had the situation, who did she go? Did she go to the Beis Medrash of Eder, or did she go to the Beis Medrash of Shem? She went to Beis Medrash of Shem. She went by Yelich Lidrois Es Hashem. And what did Rashi say? She went to the Beis Medrash of Shem. She wanted an approach. Kula Torah, what's going to be? Now here's the question. Here's the point I want to make. Over here he says as follows. This is what it says in the Shemin Atov. We have over here a parallel. A very interesting parallel. Yaakov was an Ish Tom. He was Yoishev HaHolim. Yaakov wanted both. Yaakov one tkufa spent time in the Beis Medrash of Shem. Another tkufa spent time in the Beis Medrash of Eder. That's what it says. That's the Rashi. It doesn't say Yoishev Oihel. Yoishev Oiholim. B'loshin Rabim. Oholoi Shol Shem. Oholoi Shol Eder. The derech of Shem was the derech of Kula Torah. Emunah Pshut in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The oil of Eder was Haneg Bohem Minag Derech Eretz. It was a different approach. You don't just accept things. Maybe what I'm saying is a little bit different now. You don't come to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu just to Emunah Pshuta. You have to understand. There has to be a mahalich. When I said that, was a little bit different than what I said before, but there's a similarity. What was Esav? Esav was an ish, yodea tzayid, ish sadeh. What does that mean? Why does it say that he was both? He was an ish tzayid and sadeh. So he says this amazing idea. Esav was a complex person. Esav would trap. There are two ways you can trap. You can succeed in hunting. One is you can sit back in a safe environment, behind and you lay sophisticated traps. You send out drones, and you have sensors, and you stay home, you lay the trap with incredible chokhmah, to cause the animal to come into your trap, and the following morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, the next day, when business begins, the next day you go out into the field, and you see if you have succeeded, if your trap has succeeded in catching some prey. Then, if that doesn't work, there's a more hands-on approach. The more hands-on approach is, you go out into the field, you put on your weapons, you put yourself in danger, you go out into the forest, you're surrounded by bears and tigers and lions, and you, with gevura, you kill them. You capture them with your bare hands. Esav was multifaceted. Sometimes he was an ish tzayit. Tzayit means chokhmah. He didn't go out with his bare hands and capture animals with bow and arrow. He put out traps and he played it safe. He stayed at home. But sometimes Esav went out into the field, ish sodeh, hands-on approach. He went out with his bare hands and he grabbed the neck of a lion and he killed the lion with his bare hands and he took it home. And here's my lion. I put my life in danger for this. The two approaches of Esav corresponded to the two oiholim of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov and Esav were parallels. They were different. Yaakov was focused, was the intellect, was the Chochmah Satara, or the Chochmah of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Esav was a hands-on person. But both of them had two approaches to their Mahalach in life. Yaakov had Yoshev Oihel Oiholim, Beis Medrash of Shem, Beis Medrash of Eder. Esav was an Ish Tzayid and an Ish Adama. The Ish Tzayid corresponded to the Beis Medrash of Eder. The Beis Medrash of Eved was the Beis Medrash where you don't just accept things, the Hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as fact, as with Emunah Pshuta. Like we know that Avram was a Choyker. Before Avram Avinu came to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Emunah Pshuta, he asked questions. He studied Hashem in a scientific method. Prove to me there is a Creator. I want proof. I want scientific proof there's a Creator. You can philosophize. Or you can take the approach, don't ask these questions. You know why there's a Ribbono Shel Olam? Emunah Pshuta. And this approach comes out very differently. The approach of shame was an approach, we accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emunah Pshuta. We don't ask questions, and we live this. This is the approach that we teach in the yeshiva. In the Beis Midrash of Eved, the approach was, you don't accept it as a Ribbono Shel Olam in blind faith. You have to work on yourself until you can prove to yourself, scientifically, that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Esav had both also. Esav, when it came to his profession of conquering the Olam HaTeva, he was an Ish Tzayit. This Chochmah. You have to come and conquer the world with Chochmah. Diplomacy, and what do you need, what do you need? There's a Chochmah to becoming a world leader. Chochmah, Ish Tzayit. Know how to trap every single person in this world, give them what they want to get, and that way you'll take them under your wings. And then there's an approach, I'm not coming with Chochmah, I'll come with weapons. I'm going to come with Gevurah. I'm going to come and conquer the world with might. I'm just going to go out to the world with the Gevurah and conquer the world. So we have over here a beautiful parallel. Two children were born. There was an Esav and there was a Yaakov. Each one of them had an approach to life. One was a hands-on approach to conquer the world. One was an approach, one was devoted to conquering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each one of these approaches, these fields, has two different mahalachim. There's the mahalach of Chochmah, and the mahalach of what we'll call the Gevurah. Yaakov, he went to the Beis Medrash of Eiver for the approach of Chochmah, to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the world of Chochmah. And then there's an approach to come to Kadosh Baruch Hu through Emunah Pshuta, the Beis Medrash of Shem. Esav, also to conquer this world. There are times, Chochmah, diplomacy, what do you need? You need oil? I'll give you oil. What do you need? You need weapons? I'll give you weapons. You need airplanes? This Chochmah, how to conquer the world. And then there's Gevurah, we're going to war. You don't want to pay taxes. You don't want to be loyal. We're going to go. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to destroy you. Gevurah. Now, what's the difference, though? The difference, though, is the order. That's the difference. This is the major difference. Yaakov was an Ish Tam. He was Yoshev Oholim. Rashi says, first, the Beis Medrash of Shem, then the Beis Medrash of Eder. Before you can philosophize and prove scientifically there's a Ribbono Shel Olam and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, you have to lay out a foundation of Emunah Pshuta. Tefillin, what do you put on first? Tefillin Shel Yad or Tefillin Shel Rosh? The Tefillin Shel Yad. Actions. One box. One box. All four parashios, you do Hashem's mitzvos. Then you put on the Tefillin Shel Rosh. You can philosophize. There are four compartments. There are four different ways to understand the mitzvos, the machshava. But your chokhma should not affect your actions, your emunah pshuta, your anhaga, your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukeshartam le'osal yedecha. You have to do, the ma'isim have to be done, and then they can be chokhma. First comes yoyshev oyhel, of shame, and then comes Beis Medrash Shel Shame, that was the foundation, and then when you get older, after you have a Munah Pshuta, then you can become a bit more sophisticated, you can go to the Beis Medrash of Ever, and learn how the Chochmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and challenge yourself, to learn Avuchim. First you learn in Lakewood, and then you go to Yeshiva where they specialize in learn Avuchim. Yeah. Esav had great potential. Yitzchak Avinu wanted to give the brachas to Esav, even though Esav, he knew good and well that he was no tzaddikal, but the potential of Esav was there. There's no doubt about it. He was there, and therefore knew, you're not a tzaddikal, you got problems. No, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, from them Klal Yisrael will come, you're going to get the brachas. And you have both milas, I see in you the koyach of emuna, because you have the koyach of gevura, you're an ish sodeh, you have to just go out and do things no matter what, and you're also an ish tzayid, you have the chachma. But Rivka had the sensitivity to realize that Esav, even though he has the potential, but his priorities are not in order. If Esav would put on tefillin, he would first put on the tefillah shel Rosh, and then the shel Yad. I first have to understand the mitzvahs. His potential! There's potential, that's right, there's great potential. He'll be the leader of Klal Yisrael. But Rivka saw that when he will run Klal Yisrael, he'll say, well, why did Hashem tell me to do this mitzvah? What are the reasons? To me, the reason doesn't apply. Well, you know what? Since today we live in a modern world, we can change the mitzvos, we can change things around. The mitzvos, we can drive on Shabbos, we can do this, we can do that, we can start doing things differently. Because Esav's priorities were in the wrong order. He was first in Ish Tzayid, and then secondary in Ish Sodeh. Had Esav been described in the Torah, Vayehi Esav Ish Sodeh, Ish Tzayid, he's an Arusha. Problematic. He's off the derech. All of these terms that they've invented in the 21st century for these types of children, you can apply to Esav. But he still had the potential. He still would have got the brachas. Everything would have been good. From him would have come Klal Yisrael. But Rivka saw that sensitivity that the seder is out of order. It's the chokhmah is preceding the gevura. And when the chokhmah precedes the gevura, that's going to translate years later in spirituality. I'm not going to have emunah in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unless I first understand. If I understand, then I'll have emunah. That's not the way the world works. The way the world works is there's hest upon him, and there's a requirement more often than not to have the emunah first, and then you'll see the chokhmah later on. Okay, so this is, I think, a very interesting.
Ari brings a Zohar that Rivka was a Gilgal of Chava.
Yeah.
Esav was a Gilgal of Nachash, because the Targum says Ish Sayyid Givar Nachashri.
Right, this Targum, famous Targum.
Yaakov was Adam Arish. Because like Adam was the herald, everyone came out of him, Yaakov actually also. And the Chait of Chava was that she lied to Adam Arish. Because she was a famous, you know, she died from Deitz Adas, he would get another woman. And Rivka had a lie to do good. She said, don't be afraid of my lie, because the Kalala will not come on you. So,
is this all Rabbi Weinberger, or this...
No. This is not. Just the Rabbi Weinberger just takes the parallel. My Haisafa is the Seder. Is the Seder Advar.
But who says Shem Weaver to school?
This is popular. This is a popular idea that Shem Weaver, two different mahalchim in coming to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are the two mahalchim? That's a debate. There are two different mahalchim. One is Torah Umada versus Torah Lashma. Yeah. And the second approach more is the Chochmas HaTorah versus Emunah. Is the priority Emunah or Chochmah? Okay, let's go to another idea. We mentioned... What?
Shem Shem died when Yaakov was 50.
Yeah. Shem died when Yaakov was 50 years old. 50, okay.
50.
Right. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is another short idea. We actually discussed this week. This week we learned about Yitzhak who's blind. He lost his eyesight. Rashi, uncharacteristically of Rashi, he tells us three reasons why he lost his eyesight. Now, there are at least eight reasons, but Rashi selects three reasons. The first reason is because of his yakeda. Let me actually read the Rashi. Pasuk Aleph Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Aleph Vatech Eino Be'oshnon Shel Elu. The smoke of his daughter-in-laws caused him to lose his eyesight. The second is Davar Acher Kishneket Al Gabi HaMizbech, when he was offered as a sacrifice on the Mizbeach V'hoi Avim Reitzel L'Shachtoi Ba'osesho Niftuch HaShemayim V'roh Malachi HaShores. He saw the Shechina V'hoi Yubaychim V'yardu Dimoy Sehem. Their tears entered his eye V'naflu Al Enav Lifichach Koho Enav. Therefore years later he lost his eyesight. The third reason Rashi gives Davar Acher K'dei Sheyitol Yaakov Es HaBarachos, in order that Yaakov should take the Brachos, Esav should not realize, see who is in front of him, and the brachos, Yitzchak should not see who is in front of him, and Yaakov should get the brachos. Why does Rashi need to tell us three reasons as to why Yitzchak lost his eyesight? If you want to start listing off reasons, you can give 20 reasons. You can dig up Midrashim, you can philosophize, and you could have many, and especially over here on the Medrash actually elaborates and gives us many more reasons. If you're going to give reasons, either give one reason, or if you want to give more than one reason, so give them all. Why is he giving us three? So I came across in the same a very interesting idea. The three reasons here represent the present, the past, and the future. The first reason why he lost eyesight was the present. At this moment in time, his daughter-in-laws were offering incense to Avodah Zarah. They were offering sacrifices, ketores. It's current. There's something that's going on at this very moment, and this problem is what's causing you trouble. The second reason, the Akedah. The Akedah happened long ago. We're now at the end of Yaakov Avinu's life, towards the end of his life. How many years ago? 80 years ago? 80 years ago. We're talking ancient history. The third reason is, it's not the present, it's not ancient history, it's what's going to happen in the future. Your life is coming to an end, your days are numbered, it's time to give the brachos. Hashem wants the brachos to go to Yaakov, not to Esav. So Hashem orchestrated this event, that he should lose his eyesight, in order to make sure that in the future, something will happen. There's a very powerful Liman Musar here in this for us. Going blind is a very great sorrow. We gloss, big deal, he was blind, he was an old man. It's not so. A person to lose their eyesight, no matter how old they are, obviously is a tremendous, we just learned today, Umasai Ka'ar. Or the Toiv literally says, well, the Pasuk, the Toiv literally says, Sanaim. If sight is called sweetness, then the lack of sight is bitterness. It's Suma Choshev Kemes. This was obviously a very great ace tzara personally for Yitzchak Avinu. And we can relate to this, because there's no person in existence that doesn't have problems. We're only here because we have problems. We're here to overcome the problems. Every person has struggles with things that bother him daily. This is a reality of this world. And a person always has the nature to ask, why? Why is this happening to me? Why do I have to struggle with this problem? And Rashi here is presenting us, there are always three reasons why you struggle with something. There is the present, the past, and the future. There are many dimensions to life. If a person has a tzara problem, you have to realize there's something right now, current, that can be addressed, that needs to be addressed. A person has to also live in a different dimension. You have to look back. Kadosh Baruch Hu is waking you up to make a cheshbon hanefesh. Study your life. Maybe 10 years ago you have done something, you've caused someone tsar. You've done something, you've gone off on the wrong derech.
And then a person has to have emuna. The reason why this is happening is because Hashem is preparing me for the future. This mashal, this example here, this personal tzara in the life of Yitzhak Avinu, where Rashi tells us he had a tzara. To make sense of the tzara, let's focus on three different examples. Pshat. We're not going Rashi, Leibosi, El, and Lefarish. And Rashi's view of Pshat is giving us three examples of past, present, future. Is a Musar for us. Live your life in three dimensions. The present, the past, and the future.
This is perfect for the doctor. Because when a person comes to the doctor, the first thing he has to look at is the symptoms, right? And then he looks into the guy's history. And finally, he'll go into the future, into maintenance.
Okay, let's go to another idea. Vayechrad Yitzchak charada gidoyla ad meod. Yitzchak, when he realizes that he has given the blessings to the wrong child, or to the child that he thought was the wrong child, the Torah used the very powerful words, Vayechrad Yitzchak charada gidoyla ad meod. So I want to say, what's the word ad meod? Torah is not in the business of superlatives, of exaggerations. If the Torah would have said Vayechrad Yitzchak Charada, it would also be good. Vayechrad Yitzchak. I don't think we would blink an eyelash. We'd be very happy. If we would say Gedoyla, okay, Vayechrad Yitzchak Charada Gedoyla, what's Ad Me'ot? So I want to suggest a Jewish, based upon an idea I saw in the Sefer called Table Talk by Rabbi Rafal Pelkowitz. Rafal Pelkowitz, he was a very, very famous rabbi from the White Shul. The White Shul. So he put out a sefer of some of his drashas, and he says something very interesting. He says, let's go back to Parashas Lech Lecha. In Parashas Lech Lecha, Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Parashas Vayera, Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Sarah says to Avram Avinu, now that we have our own child, and you have another child, Yishmael, and I see that these two children do not get along very well, because Sarah saw that Yishmael was mitzachik, he was making leitzanus, and Chazal tell us he was shooting arrows, and he came very close to killing Yitzchak. So she said, or he was saying that Me'avimelech, he was going around telling the world that Me'avimelech Nisabra Yitzchak, that he was conceived not from Avraham, but was conceived from Avimelech. So Sarah said, Goresh es ben ho'amo hazos. I demand that this Yishmael be driven out of the house. The pasuk says, Vayera hadover me'od deinei Avraham al odos bino. This matter was very evil in the eyes of Avram. How do we translate that passage? Vayera hadavar me'od. That's a very powerful word. Me'od, very much. Al odos bino. What does bino simply mean? Yishmael. Yishmael was the child of Avram. This was not good news in the eyes of Avram that he would have to drive out his son. But al derech drush, we can say, the Pelagus does not say this, but I'm just elaborating upon his idea. Al odos bino was Yitzchak. Avraham was very sad that it was evil in his eyes that he would have to drive out Yishmael al odos concerning because of his other son Yitzchak. Why? Avraham was no fool. He knew that Yishmael was no tzaddikal. He knew that Yitzchak was who he was. But he felt, and this is an idea, this is conjecture, this is what Rabbi Pelkowitz says, that it would be ideal for Yitzchak to live with Yishmael so that Yitzchak can be trained to detect and can see how to deal with evil people. If Yitzchak would live in a home of just tzaddikim, when he would one day become the Gadol Hadar, and there would be troublemakers coming to his home, or reports of people making trouble all over the world, what do? Do I just obliterate them? Do I negotiate with them? Do I talk to them? Now is the time to train my son Yitzchak how to deal with problems. How to deal with other people that are not in your league. If Yishmael would have grown up with Yitzchak, they would have grown up in the same home, Yitzchak would see that, you know, Yishmael doesn't daven with the minyan. Yishmael doesn't learn. Why doesn't he learn? Why doesn't he daven? He would think about it. He would develop a relationship. He would try to understand. He would maybe try to tutor him, try to work with him. When he would see he would not go, there would be enormous gain in understanding that there are different types of people in this world, even people who may be evil, who may be rishayim, and there's what to learn from them, and the experience of being in their company will be of great benefit for you later in your life. They say this all the time in the world of chinuch. Today, all of the yeshivas are in the business, they only want the best students. Years ago, there weren't enough best students to go around to have a yeshiva of only best students. Today, Baruch Hashem, is a population explosion. So today, schools, if they have a good enough reputation and are funded well enough, they can, if they want, flex their muscles. They only want to take the best students. So where do the students who are not the best students, who come from, when we say not best, it means people are different. They come from different types of families, more modern, more frum, more this, more that. They should go make their own school. The Sfaradim should have their own school, and the Litvaks have their school, the Hasidim have their school, and even among the Litvaks, those that are more parents work, they have to have their school, and if your parents are in Kol, you have your school. When I went to school, in our class, there was a variety. There were people who came, who were Balei Tshuva in the class. There were people who came from very modern homes. Their mothers did not cover their hair. There were students that come from Hasidic backgrounds. There weren't just enough students to go around to make your own exclusive school. So you had a mixture. And it was a very healthy experience where you learn at a very young age there are different types of people, and sometimes those people are not the best people. They do things which are questionable, but you learn how to deal with it, how to tolerate it, and how to accept it, and how to live your life with different types of people. Rabbi Pelikowitz says, a very fascinating idea, Vayera hadovar me'od be'ene Avraham al odos bino concerning his son Yitzchak. I know that Yishmael is a good for nothing. I know that he's a para adam. I know that he's a ratzeach. But my good son Yitzchak, there's much benefit for him to gain by growing up in the same home. He will learn valuable lessons in dealing with these type of people when he becomes an adult. And Avraham, to some degree, was right. Hashem told him, "Kol asher toymar sarosh shema b'koila ki bi Yitzchak yikar l'chazam." Come to that in a moment. Hashem said, "But Avraham, what was the approach of Avraham? Avraham wasn't a tzaddik, wasn't a navi, wasn't a great person. What was? We don't give this much attention." Rabbi Pelikowitz says, "Pay attention to this pasuk. If it says in the pasuk, Vayera hadover me'od be'enei Avraham al odos b'no, there's something very deep." Why was it me'od? Why was it so? Because Yitzchak is losing a valuable tool in life of not being in company of other types of people. And to some degree, Avraham was right. How do you know Avraham was right? Because if Yitzchak grew up with Yishmael, it's very likely that when Yitzchak would have two children, Yaakov and Esav, he would be able to detect that the one that deserves the bracha is Yaakov and not Esav. If Yitzchak would have been brought up alive dealing with a person like Yishmael, you learn the true nature of evil. And you know that it's irreparable. There's no tikkun, there's nothing that can be done. Yitzchak needed a Rivka to enlighten him that there's no, that Esav is not the one that's going to get the brachas. I know what Rishon are truly like. I grew up in a home with Besuel and Lavan, Padan Aram. I can tell you, evil is evil. Don't be naive and think, oh, there's potential, they can change, give it another generation, two generations. If you don't grow up, you don't know firsthand the true nature of evil, it's very easy to be fooled and to be naive and think, yeah, we can be good to them, we give them money, and we can give them arms, and we can do this and we can do that. If you don't know firsthand, you're in a lot of trouble. Avraham Avinu was right to some degree. Because if Yitzchak would have grown up with Yishmael, Yitzchak would have learned the true nature of evil. And when Yitzchak would then have a Yaakov and an Esav, good, Esav, you're a good boy. There's potential for you. There's hope for you. I'm going to give you a proper derech in life. But you're not getting the brachas. You're not getting the brachas. The brachas are going to go to Yaakov. Who had to save Yitzchak from himself? Rivka. Rivka, to some degree, was really the natural extension of Sarah. Because the day that Sarah died was the day Rivka was born. And Rivka, when she came into the home, it was Vayinochem Yitzchak Acharei Imo. The candles remained lit for the whole week and the pas was fresh. So she saved him. So Rivka really was just coming to save Yitzchak. It was payoff. You listen to me now. We'll give him the best of both worlds. We'll give Yitzchak the ability. Obviously, it's a trade-off. If you're going to be in an environment of evil, there's always the danger that the evil, you have the bylaw that you learn what is evil. Gevaldik, you know what evil is. But there's also the danger of being influenced by evil. So Sarah made a decision. The ikar is, it has to be pure good. We cannot allow the influence. Now that opened up the danger. Because Avraham listened to Sarah, Hashem protected Yitzchak, and Hashem sent a Rivka to save Yitzchak from himself. And that's why. And also, it makes a lot of sense to Pshat Pasuk. What does Hashem have to say? Call Asher Toma Sarah Shma Bekoila. Period. It's all it has to say in the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk have to go on and say? Ki bi Yitzchak Yikor L'cho Zara. Why is that necessary? So the answer is, don't worry. Hashem is telling him, Ki bi Yitzchak. In Yitzchak, Yitzchak v'loi kol Yitzchak. Yikor L'cho Zara. Now that you listen, you have emunah in me, you trust in me, not to train, not to expose Yitzchak to any evil, and you're making Yitzchak vulnerable, don't worry, I'll come protect you. Ki bi Yitzchak, I will make sure that only in the proper part of Yitzchak, Yikar L'cho Zara, I'm giving you avtacha to make sure that the brachas will come out the right way they should come out. That's why it's at this point in time, I'm going to come there and be there for you to make sure that the bracha will go to the right person, will go to Yaakov. I just want to add that Al-Moysev, Al-Pidrush, that's what it means, Vayechrad Yitzchak Charad Gedola Ad Me'od. Let's link. What's the Ad Me'od? Now he realized, Vayera Hadavar Me'od Be'enei Avraham. Now when he realized, look at that. I came that close to messing up. I came that close to giving the brachas to Esav. Because why? The chasson is in me. I don't appreciate the danger of evil. Who was the one that sensed, that was the first one to sense this problem? Avraham. And that's why Avraham said, Vayera hadover me'od be'enei Avraham. So now, Vayechra Yitzchak harada gedola, my harada gedola takes me all the way back to have an appreciation of my father. My father, Vayera hadover me'od be'enei Avraham, that was the moment when he set me up for this failure. My father set me up to make this mistake, but Baruch Hashem, it was a mistake that was meant to be made, because we don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a perfect world. Everything in this world is a trade-off. If Yitzchak is going to be exposed to a Yishmael, he's going to learn about the koyach of evil, but who says Klal Yisrael will be who they are today? So you have to take risks. And when you take risks, you have to have emunah that Kadosh Baruch Hu will come and protect you. Will protect you from any potential damage. Yitzchak was raised al taras hakodesh, and Kadosh Baruch Hu came along and he protected him later on with Rivka coming to save him from himself. Yeah?
I want to combine three things you just said. Vayera means it was bad for Yaakov, for Avraham Avinu. We saw that a little bit. For the future.
Yeah.
If you don't figure out the relation between Yitzchak and Yishmael for the future. By Yitzchak, when he says by Yachroi, he was afraid. He had three Lashanas here. He was afraid. He was 80 years old now, or they were 50 years old. They had lived together till now. and you had the Rasha living with the Tzaddik in the same house, he was afraid what happened till now and what will happen in the future. There was an influence. He was saying because Yishmael was out of the house. But now it was stronger than Vayera. It gets hit, you know, what happened? What influence did this Gehenna fellow have on my other son? That's the way he was. Yechad Harada, on the past, on the present, Admai till the future.
Past, present, future. Ad ma'id. Okay, I have to think about that. What? Ad ma'id means very much. Well, simply means
that he's struggling because he messed up.
He messed up. Correct. He messed up.
Saying that he almost messed up.
Well, right away, he then went on to say, Gambach, he immediately said afterwards, I didn't mess up. He was afraid that I came very close to messing up, but Baruch Hashem, I did not mess up. Gam Baruch Yiyah. At the end, he said the next words was, he should be blessed. Gam Baruch Yiyah. But I'm just trying to, what does it mean, Ad Ma'od? Where in history did he go wrong to make such a mistake? So the Pasuk itself is telling us where he went wrong. Where he went wrong, where he was said to make a mistake, was the other place where it says Ma'od. Vayera Ha'avram Ma'od. Vayera Hadavar Ma'od Be'enei Avram. Why was it Ma'od? Why was it very evil? Because you're not giving Yitzhak the tool to learn what evil is. So this is where he now says, this is why he almost made a mistake. It goes all the way back to that moment. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kol Asher Tomas Sarah Shema B'Koyla. Hashem wanted it to be this way, because obviously there's a trade-off. By Yitzhak not being in the environment of a Russia, that will allow him to develop to even a greater degree of sanctity, even though there's now a risk of dealing with Risham. Hashem says, I'll take care of that breach. I came in for the save. I send Rivka to reverse the brachas. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world where everything is a trade-off and there are dangers. I just want to bring out this. Yeah.
You mentioned before the word Mitzachek by Yishmael. Mitzachek is good for Ishta. That Yishmael was doing
Ashes Ish. Mitzachek, and it's also another issue. Okay, let me include one last part. What about Shidduchim? Last week was really the parasha of Shidduchim, of Yitzchak and Rivka. But there's a very powerful pasuk in this week's parasha which also teaches you what a Shidduch is all about. When Rivka says to Yaakov, I want you to get the brachas, I'm going to give you the matamim. Where did she get the Shnei Gidoye Izim? So Rashi tells us that she told him, take it from the backyard. It's mine. I'm entitled to two Shnei Gidoye Izim. It's written in the Ksuba. It's in the Ksuba. I'm entitled, so therefore it's mine. It's my property. I mean, you're not taking from Gezel. You don't have to go out into the field and trap an animal. Just take from the Ksuba. When Yaakov Avinu arrives in front of Yitzchak, Yitzchak says, my son, you've come here very early. Why have you arrived? Why have you come so early? So he says, Ki hikra Hashem Elokecha lefonai. So he responded, the reason why that Kadosh Baruch Hu, let me read through the pasuk. He responded, How did you find the animal so quickly? So he said, Ki hikra Hashem Elokecha lefonai. It was a mikra. It was just, I got the animals a mikra. It was a chance event. It was just an accident.
But he mentions Hashem's name.
Basically saying there's no such thing as an accident. There's no such thing as a coincidence. It's a hikra. It's a chance event. But it was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it doesn't answer the question. Where did you get these two animals? So he says, I got them through a mikra. And it's a mikra that was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, what he's describing, your marriage to mom, your marriage was all a hikra Hashem Elokecha lefonai. The essence of your marriage, and you have to remember, Yitzchak and Rivka is the dogma of marriage. How did you and my mother meet? Every shidduch is begeder. It's not something which you can plan, you can plot, you can strategize. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who just causes things to happen where two people are in the right place in the right time. Okay. It's a Hikra Hashem Lokech Lefonoi. That is how he defined the Mat'amim, the Gedoyism. The Gedoyism is a product of your marriage. And your marriage, the essence of your marriage, he's fataiching here now. He's telling him the essence of your marriage, which is the dogma for the marriage of Klal Yisrael, is defined as Ki Hikra Hashem Elokecha. It's an occurrence that seems to happen by chance, but is truly orchestrated by Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is true for every single shidduch. Me Hashem, Yotzo Hadofa. Okay.